When our young grandson, Grant, graduated from preschool, the faculty there decided that they were going to have a big party for all of the children, especially the children that were moving on to kindergarten. And so they invited moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and all the relatives they could think of to come to this wonderful presentation. It happened to be in a Lutheran school, so the sanctuary was jam-packed, filled with very proud relatives. Well, the very first part of the program, all the children got up and sang. Each little grade level got up and sang a song. And you know what it's like when little children are standing there singing? They wiggle, and some sing out loud, and they're ready to join our choir. Others are shy. A lot of them are waving to mom and dad. They're just so excited to share their skills. Well, a few days before the program, my daughter-in-law, Molly, went up to Grant and said, "Grant, they're going to ask everybody that's going to kindergarten what they want to be when they grow up. So what are you going to tell them?" And he said, "I'm going to be a mower man." Molly was horrified. She goes, "A mower man? No, Grant, you can't be a mower man." She was thinking that all the other children would get up and say, "I want to be an astronaut. I want to be a nurse. I want to be a doctor and a lawyer." She didn't want her son to get up and say, "I want to be a mower man," which means a yard man. So she decided she was going to try to talk him out of his profession. And so she did. He finally said, "Okay, I'll tell him I'm going to be a cowboy." Well, she didn't like that either, but she decided it was time to back out. Well, sure enough, on the day of the program, Grant came up to the stage and the teacher said, "Grant, what do you want to be when you grow up?" And he goes, "A cowboy." And then he walked off the stage. He was so discouraged because he knew exactly what he wanted to be. We went in his classroom, and there was all of their precious artwork up on the walls. And do you know what his artwork was? A big truck filled with weed eaters and lawnmowers, and him smiling. He was the driver because he wanted to be a mower man, and he knew what his profession was. Well, our scripture gives us some guidance today in the central question that so many of us have in good times and in bad times. Who do you plan to be? Okay, I know you have your careers. Maybe you've retired. Maybe you're still searching for another career. But what I'm talking about and what the scripture is talking about is, what type of a Christian do you want to be? Do you want to be one that runs the race marked for you with diligence and being thankful for that great cloud of witnesses out there and all those around you here in the church who give you love and support? Or do you want to be somebody that starts the race and you decide, "Whoops, it's a little hard to follow Jesus, so I think I'm just going to get out of the race for a while"? Who do you plan to be? Well, the writer of Hebrews, and we're not really sure who that is, he opens chapter 12 with a very familiar image in the Bible, and that's of a race with spectators. He would have been thinking of the big amphitheaters where everybody was sitting in the stands looking down at the people and cheering them on. What he is saying is he's presenting a challenge for Christians to endure a marathon type of a race, certainly not a sprint. When we run it like that, it emphasizes that we have a course to complete and that we know that Christ is with us, and we know that we have to exert some kind of power to make that happen. And it's going to take dogged determination. Well, I want you to know that in the Houston Marathon, which just happened, do you remember? Because we have trouble getting here on Sunday mornings. It was an unusual marathon because it was in its teens. It was cold that morning. The runners were out there, but didn't make any difference. They were ready to go. They were ready to run, despite the fact that it was very, very cold. We had people from both campuses actually run. We had a very young girl run, and one of our choir members happened to be the oldest runner in the marathon. Well, she talked about the supporters lining the streets as the runners went down. And you know, the text today calls them a great cloud of witnesses. Now, I didn't know this, but a cloud was used in classical literature to mean a large group of people. And our writer is pointing back, actually, to chapter 11 in your Bible about all the heroes of the faith. And if you turn in your Bibles and look back at it, you're going to see some names you recognize. It says, by faith, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab. And then it says what they did. For example, it says in verse 6, chapter 11, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. And then it goes on to say in verse 13, all of these people were still living by faith when they died. So in the race imagery, it seems as if countless men and women who have run the race are watching us, and they're cheering us on as we run our race. They have gone before us. They have persevered. They have run the race very, very well. And now it's our turn. And we have this great cloud of witnesses that are watching us. Now, I really like that image. I do think of the people that have gone before me, like my parents. I like to think that maybe just somehow, some way, maybe they're just cheering me on. I think of Dr. Henson and Dr. Asbury Lennox that were here, and they were instrumental in having me go into seminary and becoming a pastor. I like to think that maybe, just maybe, they're looking down and saying, good job. Good job, Ann. Well, maybe you ought to try this, Ann. Whatever. They're cheering me on. I can still see my grandmother, a great woman of faith who taught me so much about Jesus. I can see her smile, and I hope that she is cheering me on. And then not only that, think of all of the faithful members of this church. Think how old this church is, way over 175 years old. Think of all the people that have sat here for generations and generations, and they have run the race, and they have tried to make this church a wonderful, wonderful place. Think about them cheering us on. So I like to think that they are telling us never to give up, never to give up on ourselves, and never, ever, ever to give up on our church. But you know, the author actually had a few more thoughts about this. He is saying they were faithful witnesses, and they offer the community, that would be us, motivation to stay the course, to be committed in the race we are running. F.F. Bruce said, "It's not so much they looking at us as we look to them. They ran, they succeeded, and they help us with the encouragement from our own race." Now, how in the world, if we're going to run a race, do we figure out how we can do it and do it very effectively? What I love about this scripture is, in 49 little words, it tells you everything you need to do to run the race well. The first thing it says, lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely. It was in the teens. Did you see a lot of runners out there with overcoats? Did you see them with sweatpants, overcoats, hats? Mm-mm. That would weigh them down. They wore just the typical running clothes that would help them run fast. You saw what Mary had on. She was warm, but she had on something that would allow her to keep on going. If you try to run a marathon and you're weighted down, you can't get there very fast. It's not efficient. In 1945, the ill-fated Franklin expedition sailed from England to find a passage in the Arctic Ocean. The crew loaded their two sailing ships with all kinds of things they didn't need. Listen to this. They had a 1,200-volume library, fine crystal goblets, sterling silverware for each officer, with their name engraved on the handles. Amazingly, they didn't even take enough coal for their auxiliary ships to go even longer than 12 days. Well, the ships got trapped in the ice, and after several months, Lord Franklin passed away. The rest of the people got off the boat and decided they would walk on the ice. And guess what? They died. All of them died. And when they found their bodies, they were pushing a sled. And do you know what was in the sled? Table silverware. Why in the world would they put table silverware in a sled and push it all the way across the ice? They were bogged down. The men contributed to their own demise because they were taking things with them they didn't need. Same thing for us. Don't we do that sometimes? We carry things with us we don't need. We drag baggage with us all the time. Bad choices, grudges, evil thoughts, sins that we just keep on doing over and over. And they will drag us down as we're running our race. You know, today, maybe it's time that you just took a mental inventory. I did it too. And think today, what in the world is weighing you down on your race? Once you figure out what it is, then listen to this. Name it, claim it, confess it, and then toss it in the sea. Jesus is going to take that and he's going to bury it in the depths of the sea. And he's not even going to remember where he put it. If sin is dragging you down, any of this, toss it in the sea, and you will be so happy to know that Jesus doesn't even remember where it is. All of that is lifted off of you. The second suggestion that the author gives is we need to run with perseverance. How are you with perseverance today? Do you have a lot of it? A little of it? Are you kind of in between? That means we do not give up. We don't even give up if it's hard. We don't give up on ourselves. We don't give up on others, and we never, ever give up on our church. Even if our church looks different, even if our church has been pruned a little bit and we're trying to do new things, we never, ever give up on our church. I remember a time, and I'm thinking of you all sitting right here, when I had 5 teenagers at home, all of them in braces, all of them actively involved in everything. And I felt like I was down on all fours in my race, just barely scratching my way. I kept thinking, so much is happening in my life. How am I going to keep running effectively? Some of my church friends saw me, listened to me, and you know what they did? They came out of the spectator seat. They came and they wrapped their arms around me. They helped me get upright one more time, and I was able to continue my race. If I tell you this name, Derek Redmond, does it ring a bell with anybody? Oh, excellent, because you're going to know who he is. He was a runner in the 1992 Olympics. There he is. Look at him running, just like we ought to be running. But guess what? As he was running, he tore a hamstring. And you can probably remember the video. He just laid down on the track. He was in excruciating pain. He could not go any farther. And he was probably the one that was going to win. Sure enough, as he was lying there, just everything he had practiced for, somebody came down out of the bleachers and got on the track with him. It was Daddy. Daddy came down out of the bleachers and went up to his son, and he said, "You don't have to finish this." And his son said, "Oh, yes, I do." And his dad said, "Well, we're going to finish it together." And that is exactly what they did. Dad helped him finish and walk over the great finish mark. Helen Keller said, "Alone we can do little. Together we can do so much." While you're running, you can not only look to this great cloud of witnesses, but you can look at your church friends who are going to just step out and surround you with love and help you regardless of what you're going through. And then the final one, Jesus is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. It says, you must keep your eyes on him. You just don't let go of watching Jesus. Well, there was another British explorer that went back to the Arctic Ocean. That must have been really a popular thing to do. And they wanted to go farther north. They wanted to chart some new things. So they took all of their equipment, they hopped on the ice, and they started walking, 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 walking. At the end of the day, they were totally exhausted, and they took their bearings, and they were farther south than they could ever imagine. You know what happened? They stepped on an ice floe, and the ice floe was just moving them south when they wanted to go north. They were drifting in the opposite direction. When we take our eyes off Jesus, we can go the opposite direction so easily. And it's easy to take your eyes off of Jesus. Hymnal 349 is something we sing a lot. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. What is your favorite image of Jesus? What is it? Right here is one of my favorites, and it's an old picture. We don't know what Jesus looked like, but you know why I love that picture? My dad gave that to me when I was 16 years old, and it has traveled with me my whole life. It sits on my dresser. I see that look, and I absolutely love that image of Jesus. But your image may be Jesus playing with the little children. Your image may be Jesus holding out his hands, beckoning you to come to him. I invite you today to go home and think of your favorite image of Jesus and let that be the thing you see as you are running your race. So, who do you plan to be? God has provided everything we need to run the race of our life. He provided it back then for all of those people, and he's providing it now for us today. We have a great cloud of witnesses that are watching us, and we can look to them, and we have each other, and we have Jesus. My friends, put on your running shoes, and let's run like we've never run before. Let's never give up until we cross the finish line, because you know why? Someone very special is waiting for us. It's in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you please pray with me? God, thank you so much for always being in the race with us. Thank you for the great writer of Hebrews who helps us know how to run the race. We cast everything off, we run with perseverance, and we keep our eyes on Jesus. Three simple things that will make our race wonderful. Be with each and every one of us as we run. Let us help others that are falling down in the race to help them stand tall and to regain their strength. We love you. We love running the race with you. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. And so right now we are going to be singing, O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee. Before we stand, let's just say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.